fine.
Okay. Morning, Rabbi Side, Torrey Way, Northwest London. As the electronic equipment for recording has only just arrived, we'll skip the halakha for this morning. Our speaker this morning is Rabbi Nachum Aronson Shlita. It is Thursday, Dalet Elul, 28th of August, and the subject is the Cholent of the Kohen Gadol's mother. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Storfer, Lichvot Simchas HaNesuim of Rina Storfer and Bini Blum, which took place on Monday. Yerotzon Sheyivnu by Snem of Yisrael, the Shem Willis Hilom.
Thank you, we miss you.
Can't take away.
You don't have to get your hat on.
No, oh good, thank you. Good.
It's not
as if.
You want to,
not
you.
No, no.
Okay, Rob. Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for being prepared to listen to me. Thank you to the very way to ask me. It's an honor. In this week's Seder, we have, there's one of the parshas, one of the few parshas in Torah, which speaks about the Reitzer B'Shoigek, someone who kills by mistake, and has to run off to an Ir Miklot. And as we know, he has to stay there till the Petira, till the death of the Kohen Gadol. As the Pasuk tells us, in Parshas Maaseh, that is, that Pasuk says, Ki Ir Miklotoi Yeshev, he should sit in that, he should live in that Ir Miklot, Ad Mois HaKohen HaGadol, until the death of the Kohen Gadol, Ve'ach Mois HaKohen HaGadol, and then after his death, Yoshuv HaRoitzech El Eretz HaChuzoset, he can go back home. That's the Pasuk tells us that. And the Mishnah tells us, famously in Makkos, that Lefichach, because his having to stay in the Ir Miklot depends on the death, or life or death of the Kohen Gadol, so therefore the Mishnah says, Lefichach, Imoisehen Shel Kohanim, the mothers of the Kohanim, Shailu it's a Kohen Gadol of the Kohanim. Pashtus is from the Kohen Gadol, the mother of the Kohen Gadol. Mesap Kohis Lohen Michyo Chsus. They would provide, I don't know how they would drive around in Eretz Yisrael, all the different Yorei Miklat, but they used, probably one day each, they used to supply food and garments. Kadesh Lo Yispalalu Al Bnei'em Shuyamusu. So that Reitzeach shouldn't daven that the Kohen Gadol should die. His stay there depends on the death of the Kohen Gadol. So they would supply him with food and garments, it seems, so that they wouldn't daven for that. Yeah, and the rationale for that seems to be is that the more comfortable the lives in that Ir Miklot is, the less urgency he'll feel to want to leave, and therefore he might feel the sympathy for this kind lady who has been bringing him food. So he's less likely to daven for the death of the Kohen Gadol. And the question is obvious. Yeah. I've seen this once written out explicitly. Let us imagine what exactly happened here. We have this man here, perhaps in his early 30s, married, got three children. He'd been climbing a tree. Perhaps the tree was overhanging his sukkah, so he needed to get down the schach, but for the make so the sukkah should be up to his kosher. And he climbs up the tree and he takes his axe, and while he's chopping, the handle and the blade detach, and the blade, Chachmona Litzlan, kills someone. Yeah. When I was preparing this, I was suddenly reminded of something which I once met, Rabbi Yosef Oppenheimer, he was the Rav in Buenos Aires. Initially he was in Amsterdam, so that's how I knew him, and afterwards he was a Rav for many, many years in Buenos Aires. He was a Talmid of Rabbi Borch Berlevich. He learned in Kamnitz. So once when I met him, I asked him, is it true that Rabbi Ber was such a, yeah, he described this very emotional, always with a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings. So is it true? So he told me two stories, and unfortunately I only remember one. He says he remembers once a Shia, and Rabbi Ber was saying, and the halach is that ein shliach ledvar avera, rachmanu litzlan. As soon as he heard the word, it's little, he lived it. He lived the Torah. When he spoke about Vaveira, it gave him a tzitter. Yeah, we're just killing off people when we're talking. All the time when we talk in the Torah, we tend to kill people off and then don't much make about it. Yeah, but there's also such a case. He um, He killed some of the mistakes. Alochis, he's got to run off to one of the six Ore Miklat, one three on this side of the yard and one on the other side, or one of the 42 Ore Levim. And then once he's there, the Besni will call him out and check into his case to see whether it was Taka Shoigig or Mezit. And eventually they paskin it was Shoigig, and they take him back to the Ore Miklat. Although the main reason of having to go there seems to be so that he can be safe of that the Goyal Adam, the family of the person who killed, can't kill him. But there's definitely also the inyan of Kapora for his killing someone, actually from Rashi in Parshas Noach. It's mashma that Kapora is the main reason, but that's not relevant here. So this Roitzeach Shoigeg arrives in this Ore Miklat, which might well be a little village or a town, not a far-flung episode in the north somewhere, where he's totally cut off of his family. There might be a few Bote Medrash in the Ore Miklat, but probably not any big supermarket, just a little corner shop where he goes to the shop and he sees that all his favorite food, his drinks, his favorite hechsher, whatever it is, not available. It hasn't got it, right? So the people in town who live in the Ore Miklat, they would go to a bigger town further away, to a Tesco, a Chweis, further away. He's not allowed to go out. The Shumoyef is not allowed to go out. He's not even allowed to go out for a Sakon and Nefoshes. He's got to, even if he knows Eidus, says tomorrow, he knows Eidus which could save, or Chas v'Shalom, the opposite, or the life of someone, not allowed to go out. He's got to be stuck there till the Moyes of the Kohen Gadol. For successor, the Yashav Bo Admois HaKoyin HaGodol. Full stop. That's so. Again, if the local shop doesn't store his favorite food, he'll have either to do with what they do have, or he has to rely on the favors of people who live there, who do go out of town to buy him whatever he needs. He's stuck there. Not very geschmack. If he wants to go for a walk in the fresh air, you'll have to do it in a local park, even if it's only a little unpleasant park. It's unattractive. But he's got no brain. He's got no option. That's it. So he inquires about the age of the Kohen Gadol. How old is he? How likely is he to die soon? Yeah, and they tell him, sorry, the previous Kohen Gadol was just nifter only a few months ago. There's the new Kohen Gadol, and he's still a youngster. He's still only in the 30s, early 30 as well. So his prospect is to be stuck there for 40 years. At least something like that.
Can I ask, does he have to go to Ore Miklat? Can he just hide himself somewhere in the north or the south?
In principle, if he wants to... Yeah, I was asked whether he's got to go to Ore Miklat or whether he's allowed to hide elsewhere. I'm not 100% sure whether he's allowed, but I think Besdin has to take him there, so Bapashtis, he would have to go. And if not, his life is in danger.
But he would say, I'm not scared, I'll go and hide somewhere else. He won't find me.
Right, if someone says, I'm not 100% sure whether he is allowed to hide elsewhere. I don't think so, actually. I think the halach is he's got to go to Ore Miklat. I would have to look into it. I'm not 100% sure. It's so long ago that this happened, so these things. So he's there. He inquires, as I said, the Kohen Gadol is still going to live the chance of living another 40 years is with him schwarz vor den Augen. I mean, this is horrific. What is he going to do? Yeah, as I say, it might be till the end. He'll be stuck there till possibly the end of his life. He won't see his wife, his children. They'll probably come and visit him. But it's hard. So the only option he's got, l'chayra, is to daven and rise shemayim to rise in the Himmel to let the depths of his heart, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let the Kohen Gadol die soon. That's the only option he's got. So he starts davening. That Thursday night, this elderly lady, the mother of the Kohen Gadol, comes and says to him, here, I brought you some cholent, I brought you a Shabbos shirt, please don't daven for my son to die. Is it logical to expect that this goyler would say, wow, that's so kind of her, I won't daven for the Kohen Gadol to die? Is that logical? Yeah? Doesn't make up, I'll give up going home to my wife, to my children, I'll stay here. My friends, my social life, never mind, I won't daven for your son to die. It's not logical. It's not at all svara that because of the little bit of challenge that she brings him every Thursday night, that because of that he's not going to daven for the Kohen Gadol.
How have another problem. Why should his tefillahs be effective in Shemayim?
Thank you. How his tefillahs should be effective in Shemayim? If the Baalei Musar speak about it, and the show, this shows how the tefillah, the power of tefillahs, although the Kohen Gadol will definitely daven that he should live, and the Baalei Musar also daven he should live. We'll come back to it, possibly what might make just the point, but that is the power of tefillah. That's how the Baalei Musar learned from here. It shows very strongly the power of Musa. Yeah, of tefillah. So that's one question. Let us look into another totally unrelated parsha. But it was Nogea 2 weeks ago when it was to Baav. There's a Gemara in Tanis. The Gemara says, Omar Rab Shimon ben Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel says, Loi hayu yomim toivim li Yisrael kechamisha osor Baav uke yom HaKippurim. The two best days of the year are Yom Kippur and Tu Baav. Chamish Osa Ba'av. And the Gemara that discusses what exactly is Chamish Osa Ba'av. And one of the reasons, Omar Rabba Barav Chona, Omar Rabbi Yoichnon, Yoim Shekolu Boy Meisei Midbar. It was the day that the people who had to die in the Midbar because of the Pasha of the Meraglim, that was the day they stopped dying. I'll explain you what happened. Rashi brings there from a Braise, which explains that after the Chet HaMeraglim, it was, as we all know, it was decreed on the people who were between 20 and 60 at that time, that they were not allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. And for the next 40 years, those 600,000 men had to die in the Midbar. And every year, says the Rashi brings there from the Braise, every year on Tisha B'Av, all those men would dig their own graves and go to sleep in that grave. And every year, 15,000 men, 600,000 divided by 40, is 150,000. Every year, 15,000 men wouldn't wake up the next morning. And the others, of course, did get up and continue their life. And that continued every year until something miraculous happened. In the 40th year, the last 15,000 men dug their graves on Tisha B'Av, the Erev Tisha B'Av, and the next morning they all woke up. Nobody died. So they presumed that perhaps they had made the wrong cheshbon after there was no luach. Kadasha, whatever, didn't print any luchos in those days. And then it was all depending on the sighting of the moon. So they thought perhaps, especially there, they thought they made a mistake in the calculations. So the next night again they slept in a grave, and again, next night, until it came to Chamisha Osor B'Av, and the full moon showed them quite clearly that they did make a mistake. Tisha B'Av was a few days ago. And they realized that Kodesh Baruch Hu had spared their lives, and that is one of the reasons, says Rabbi Yochanan, why Tu Ba'av is a Yontif. And again, the obvious question here is, why were those 15,000 people saved? Every year, all the others died, every year. And here, suddenly, these 15,000, they were Zoicha to live, and going to Eretz Yisrael. What did they have, what the others didn't have? What was it? So in order to answer that, we have to go to a pasuk in Parshas Vayechi. Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed said to Yosef, "Vani nosati yecho shchem echad alochecho. I've given you one portion more than your brothers. Asher lekachti miyat ha'emoiri becharbi uvekashti, which I took from the hands of the Emoirim with my sword and with my bow." The Targum famously there translates the word becharbi uvekashti with my sword and my bow. Not as in its literal sense, but as two expressions of tefillah. He translates Becharbi ubekashti, betzilusi ubebuusi. In words, as we know from the Kabbalah, tzloisim ubeosim. Tzloisim is tefillah, is prayer, and buusi is my plea. So the question is why? Why did Rashi translate it? Why did Targum not translate it? As literally, shoulder above, you fight people, you fight with weapons. So once Sol B'Shem Rab Shalom Shvadron brings a pshat, he says, because Yaakov Vinu used the words Becharbi Ubekashti, my sword, my bow. If it's just a question of weapons which he killed with, what's Nafkamina who it belonged to? Belongs to you, belongs to Nafkamina as long as it kills, whose ownership it does. So the fact that he says Becharbi, my sword, and my bow, shows that it was something specific belonging to him, and that's what made the Unkelus translate it as my tefillah. What's the connection between the sword and the bow, and tzlusi ubusi, and the two ways of tefillah? So the Meshech Chachma, equally famously, explains it as follows. He says, the word tzilusi, which is Aramaic for tefillah, is the word used for our regular tefillahs. The way we do Nusach, we know, we have Nusach, which the tefillah which Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov instituted, and which the Anshak Nes Gedolah formulated the words of, that is tzilusi, that's tefillah. The regular tefillah. Bu'usi means are my personal requests. That's what I want for myself, I need, or for someone else, but that's bu'usi. Tzilusi is the normal tefillah, which we've got handed down, the Nusach, and bu'usi is what I add to it as supplication, as my personal supplication. Says the Meshech Chachma, there's a difference between those two. The former, tefillah, as long as you had kavona by the first bracha of Shemayin Esra, you're yoitze. Even if the rest, as we know, as Rabbi Yanko Galinsky used to say, Pesach says, Eile berech of Eile besusim, v'nachtu b'shem Hashem, v'nakeinu nazkir. Says, when a goy wants to travel somewhere, to London, he wants to travel to Manchester, you need to rechev, you need to sus, you need to get there by... So, Eile berech, v'nachnu b'as, Hashem Hashem Elikeinu Nazkir. All we have to do is start Shemayin Esra. Baruch Ato Hashem Elikeinu. Hashem Elikeinu Nazkir. Oh, already we're there. We're here. Machshavas, our minds are totally elsewhere. That halacha is the first bracha. We have to have kavona and the rest. We could try, of course, but one is yoitze even without a proper kavona. If beusi, my personal request, has to have kavona. If you just say the words without thinking, doesn't help. We've got tefillahs for choylim in our tefillah, and we add it. If you don't think about it, doesn't help. You need kavona for it. The more kavona you have, the more powerful it will be. Actually, I saw Reb Shimshon Pinkus explains the difference between the two. Why is that? So why is that a tefillah from the Oveis, which Oveis Tiknu? Why does it help? He gives a beautiful marshal. So most of you will remember when many years ago British Telecom lost its monopoly. And it opened up the market for other companies as well. And what happened all over the country, they started digging up the streets, the pavements of the streets, and the company case that they came and they put conduits down, they put pipes down underneath the ground and filled it up again, some better than others. And that's what they did, all the hard work, and they prepared to put pipes, the cables, the conduit there under the ground. When now someone wants to connect to that company, all they had to do was open up somewhere and push the wire through those pipes to the house of the person. It was much easier for the people. You didn't need all that effort. If not, every time someone wanted to connect it, they would have to start digging up. So they put pipes down. Says Shem Shem Pinkus, that's Pshat here as well. Our Ovois and Anshe Knesset Gedolah, they put down the pipes. They put all the hard work into it. All when we have to daven now, all we need is just to push our tefillahs through those pipes, which are there already, and it will reach mine much easier. So tefillah needs kavana, but you can get by the first bracha, if you want to call it that way. Whilst personal request, you have to do the hard work. You can't just rely on anybody else. You have to do the hard work, and that's what happened. Says the Meshech Chachma, a sword is intrinsically sharp. It can do harm even with the slightest of touch. Even when accidentally you touch a sword, you can hurt yourself badly. The sword is a clear marshal for tefillah. The charbi is tefilosi, the tzilusi, because it's sharp, intrinsically sharp. A bow and arrow, if you just have it like that, it won't do anything. You've got to put effort into it. And the more effort you put in pulling back the arrow is the bow, the further it will shoot, the more effective it will be. So he says, that is exactly what... How about the Targum explains? Tzilusi u'b'usi. The tzilusi is like a sharp. A charbi is tzilusi. It's a tefillah, which is sharp. Intrinsically sharp, it's got power even with minimal kavona. Whilst b'usi, the more power, the more kavona you put into it, the more powerful it will be. It's kedai, time in today's world, very much so, it's kedai to quote a marsha there in Bava Basra, actually. The Marshal says, why did Yaakov Avinu need both powers of tefillah? Why, in order to take away from the Amori, did he need both Charbi and Kashti? Why did he need both powers of tefillah? Says the Marshal that the tefillah as a cherev is the type of tefillah which Yaakov Avinu needed to combat the power of Esav. Because Esav had the bracha al charb chatichye. Cherev is the power of Esav. So in order to combat the power of Esav, we need a cherev, you need tefillah. Bakosha, which is symbolized by the bow and arrow, Yaakov needed to use against Yishmol. Because by Yishmol it says, there was the brother when after Yishmol was ill. It's a pasuk says that the Kodesh Boch was helped Yishmol, and he became an archer. He became Keshes. Yeah. So the Keshes, the bow, is the power of Yishmol. So in order to counter both Esav and Yishmol, we need both Cherev and Keshes. That's the marshal in above Basra. And my Rebbe, Uri Weisblum, soll sein gesund, Mashgiach in Haifa today, he points out in one of his forum that interesting is when you're attacked by sword, you can see the enemy. Yeah, he's in front of you. A person fights with a sword, the enemy is visible, you know exactly where he's coming from, you can see where he comes from. That's the Esav, the Crusades of Achman and Son, all the times, all the Redithas which we had from Esav, has been face to face. A bow and arrow you can shoot from a hidden place. Yishmael doesn't fight face to face. They fight with missiles and ballistic missiles and that's mamish. The way of how Esav and Yishmael fight us is mamish. That's their power. That's how it shows. So it seems according to the Mashal that in order to fight Yishmael, which is of course very at the moment very very nageya, you need beusi. Tefillah is not sufficient. You need kavana. You need extra power. And the more power we put into our tefillah against Yishmael, the more likely we will be to be matzliach. So it's a very timely lesson indeed. So let's get back to the questions we had. We asked what schus did the last 15,000 people in the Midbar have, that although initially they were included in the gezer that had to die, that they didn't die in the Midbar. So there's a beautiful sefer in English, Shmuel Reichman from Chicago. It's got a sefer called Lech Lecha, The Journey to Your Ultimate Self. A beautiful sefer in English, every sefer a different lesson, talks through quite clearly. It's very much based on Rabbi Akiva Tatz and Lachim Chaim Shapiro. But this word, I asked him, I'm quite friendly with him, I asked him, this word he thinks is his own. He says he's scared to say it's his own because everything is mushba from his rabbis, but as far as he remembers, this is his word. He says beautifully. He says, the first 38 years, all the men who would dig their graves, of course they would daven the tshuva that they would survive. That was normal. You would do that. That's the whole purpose of it, after all. Yeah? And no doubt, he davened, and we talk about the Dordea. But, he says, at the back of their minds, he could always say, I'm not going to be the one to die. There are others who can die. The others will die. It won't happen to me. Yenem will die. There are plenty of other people who can die. So somehow that filler wasn't as powerful because they always thought, in the back of their mind, they thought, it's not me. Someone else will die. And the last year, however, they were the only 15,000 people left. There's nobody else. It's either your or mine. It's either you survive or not. So that filler and that shuva was so much more powerful. It was desperate. That kavana in that filler was so much more. That was perhaps even a little bit only extra. But that little bit extra did it all. Because of that, because they davened with their full kavana, they pulled their bow totally back as much as they could. That filler was so powerful that in Nochnamah, that shuva, that filler, Kodesh Baruch accepted it and they survived. That's the difference. The difference between being desperate or trying. So that can bring us back to the original question. How could a portion of Cholent for the Kohen Gadol, some other brought him, how can that stop the Reitzer B'Shoigeg from davening for the death of the Kohen Gadol? And the answer is that, of course, it wouldn't stop him from davening. He wants to get out of here. He'll daven. He'll definitely daven. But his tefillah, because he knows there is a portion of Cholent coming and a new fresh shirt for Shabbos, the somehow his tefillah is not going to be as desperate, as strong, as he will pull the bow, but not as much as he could. If the tefillah is not totally, with a total kavana, it might not be accepted. And that is exactly what the purpose was, what the mother of the Kohen Gadol would achieve by bringing food and chaluk to the difference. The difference in tefillah between those two is almost the opposite of the Mesa Midbar at that time. It's actually the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara famously speaks about the two people. Gemara says where two people, Shnayim Shalu Lemita, two people who Rachman Ratzlan were ill, desperately ill. The two people who were condemned for the gallows, and they had both the choyle, both choyle were exactly two different people, exactly the same illness, the same degree of illness. One of them will survive, and another one will not survive. Why? Gemara explains, Shneim is Palalu, both of them davened that they would survive, that they would get better, the verdict would be abolished, and for one it worked and for one it didn't work. So the Gemara says, why? Why was one answered and one not? So the Gemara's Lashon Gemara says, Ze hispalil tefillah shleima, veze loy. One davened a total tefillah, and the other one not. And Rashi explains what means a total tefillah. One put more kavona into his tefillah than the other one. The one who survived put more kavona into his tefillah than the one who didn't. And that's the difference. And they bring from the Vilna Gaon a makor for this vod for Rav Meir. So it's a pasuk in Veschanon. Because it says that uvikashto mishom es Hashem elukecho. You search from where you search from there for Kodesh Baruch Hu. Umotsoso, and you will find him. Because when you daven with all your heart and all your soul. So the Vilna Gaon points out the beginning of that pasuk, uvikashtem is plural. Uvikashtem is plural. Umotsoso is singular. So the tefillah speaks about uvikashtem mishom es Hashem elukecho is plural. Umotsoso is loshen yochid, says the Vilna Gaon. Why? Because there are loads of people who daven, but it's unfortunately only individuals who are clearly answered. Motsoso, the Mikashtem is many people who daven, like the two choylim. But the Motsosi is only those who survive. And why is that? That's because it depends on your kavana. If it be daven b'chol avavcho b'chol nafshecho, then our tefillahs are total much more acceptable and accepted, and that is by the why that's the difference. So the Vilna Gaon says that's the makor for this Gemara in. No, Elul has started and soon will be davening. That will be written in the Sefer HaChaim. We've got to feel that our life mamish depends on it. It's just like the final Mesa Midbar. They davened with b'chol avavcho b'chol nafshecho because that's the only way how they knew they could survive. Elul, we each person don't want to make people depressed. Elul is not the time to get depressed. It's if we got aces how to mitzvah Hashem to be zeuche to get out. It's to our b'usi, not just the tefillah, the b'usi, the way we have to pull the bow and arrow. We've got to really put all our kavonis and our tefillahs and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at the same time, we can use that to daven that we get be able to destroy Yishmael and Gansen totally, because that's the weapon for Yishmael. Mitzvah Hashem will be zeuche to be written in the Sefer Chaim and the ultimate geula shleim of Meir B'Yimei.
Well, the Meister, does that mean that the
Serach stuck and stayed
for another 60 years?
Yeah, it could be stuck.
That's what happened.
And that's what happened, and that's why it's so strange why they mother.
Oops. Sorry. So why is that? Why is the mid of Yishmael Keshes?
The mid of Yishmael Keshes, because that's what Pesach says. That
Pesach says what?
Pesach says that after Yishmael, the year Hashem im Yishmael.
Yeah.
After he got better from after Chagor davened and he davened and he got better. says the pasuk says it.
I remember, now it's early morning. Look at this. You've got the shatter the shmai, v'hoi Hashem imoi.
Very nice, very, very nice.
Thank you.
Just to tell you again, if the Gezeirah was, all of them were going to be left out, including the last 15,000, I'm thinking to myself, how come? Okay, they thought the Mishkan. How come?
I've seen this
from the mother of the Kohen Gadol, or the word from the. It was from the Mason
Midbar?
Oh, I'll have a look. I've got the Sefer of Gudeman. It's great. Thank you.
How come they were still alive?
They're still alive. Yeah, because that is the power of tefillah.
But yet the gezeirah was they should be lifted.
Yeah, and that shows you how tefillah can be koreya gezeirah. That's all. That's what tshuva does. Tshuva makes the person. As I want, he takes a piece of that life and says tshuva makes you.
May I ask you, I have a kasha on this vault of the Mesa Midbar.
When they went out and went inside, yeah, only two people survived. What's it says? That they all died. Yeah, so how can it be that they survived?
It's like a question they ask this guy. The question is like I just don't think that is. He said, "Shuvah makes you into a different person." My father's a friend of Rocky's to say. So they're different people. They're not the same thing. Zero was on them. Tshuva makes you into, it's not just regretting and that's it. Tshuva makes you into a different person, which therefore the gezeira didn't point to them. Or you're supposed to call it Tshuva. It's yeah, those people who were as they were. But those people managed to rise out of their matzah.
The economy of Yeshua, they didn't go each year into a...
They didn't have to go into a... They didn't go into a... That's what the Bible says. That shows that they could even...
Yeah. What happened to the bag today? Someone taking it?
I'll clean this part.